Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we journey to a simpler time together, like maybe earlier this morning, before all those things happen, and just enjoy one another. Pass the time like it's standing still or gas. So sit or stand back and relax while I share with you my favorite TV show, Squad 42, Where Are You? Oh, I hope it brings joy to your heart.
This is good pie, Mrs. Saunders.
Thank you, Lou.
Mr. Saunders, what details can you tell me about Mr. Saunders' disappearance?
Just that he was there 1 minute and gone the next.
Like the rain in Florida, am I right? 1 minute it's sunny and warm, and the next minute, poof, your husband's disappeared.
Lou, Mrs. Saunders, what do you mean exactly he was there 1 minute and gone the next? He didn't come home one night?
No, he just vanished mid-sentence.
How do you know it was mid-sentence? Maybe he was done. Although, if it were ellipses...
What was he saying, Mrs. Saunders?
Hey, I wasn't done talking.
Sorry.
One might not know. Period. Or as Victor Borga would say...
Are you done now?
Yes.
What was he saying when he disappeared, Mrs. Saunders?
Oh, he was saying something like, hey, someone's using this stall. I paid to be here. How did you get in?
All right. Well, we'll try to see what we can find out.
I hope I'm just imagining this. It does seem like a dream.
Maybe it is, Mrs. Saunders.
Although, there's his breakfast right there where he left it.
Fish?
It's all he ate. Sometimes a little cheese, too, but mostly fish.
Thanks again for the pie.
Oh, my pleasure.
Really, really good pie. I mean, it was really good.
Please let me know what you find out. We were together for 40 years, Barney and I.
We will, Mrs. Saunders. Let me introduce myself. My name is Hardy. Hardy White. But I just go by Hardy White, mostly. And I have a radio show. It's not really a show as much as I have access to the radio for an hour. And my dream has always been to speak to others about my own feelings of incompetence and self-doubt. To be a friend to the friendless. To speak from my heart. But also to be a sort of time detective. Or some sort of investigator of strange phenomena. Now you say, those two are very different goals, aren't they, Hardy? How can you do them at the same time? Shouldn't you focus on one? I say this, no. And then by way of explanation, I make something up like, oh, the world needs saving. And there's really two worlds, aren't there? There's the external world of reality where everything happens, where we go to work and where we buy our food and where we eat rice cakes over the computer keyboard, and then there's little pieces on that. That's the real world. Then there's the world in our heads. The world of imagination, of our thoughts. Now, we think that's not a real world, but I'll tell you, that has as much impact on people's lives. Oh, some of the things that you think in your head and you make up are just as real, and you act as if they're real. So, same effect. So I try to reconcile those two worlds. I want to be an ambassador between reality and the imagination. That's what I want to do. I want to try to. I think they can. These two worlds don't have to war. They can live together, and that's been my goal: is to bring those together. And I like to do that by being inconsistent and confusing.
You should have had the pie.
I wasn't hungry.
The pie was amazing. I don't even think it was real. What a nice lady, too. So what do you think happened to her husband? Suicide? Kidnapping? He run off with his secretary?
Were you not listening?
No, not really. Refresh my lack of memory.
He disappeared mid-sentence while eating his breakfast.
Oh, mid-sentence. I remember that. That's the same guy?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's weird.
It is, but I think I might know what's going on.
He's a robot.
No, alien.
That was my second guess.
It's Yellow Millet Dream Tourism.
What's that?
Well, there are alien races who live in a sort of thought-only universe, and they've been able to manipulate time and space in such a way that they can live for years in what is to them an instant. So for fun, they live out entire lives as other people on other planets. They just manifest themselves in physical form somewhere and start living out a life. So Mr. Saunders was just playing human. He was an ancient creature of pure thought. But something interrupted him. That's what's disturbing.
Oh yeah, that's what's disturbing. By the way, are you going to start the car?
No.
It's cold. Does the seat warmer work when the car's off?
Just be quiet for a minute.
Not possible. When you put that thought in my head, it bounces around like when that hobbit dropped the bucket down the well in Moria in Lord of the Rings, in the movie at least. It was like, bonk, 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 tonk, 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 it's gonna wake the monster.
Quiet.
No, I think he said, quiet, fool, you fool of a toque.
No, I hear something. Ah, there, look. Do you see that menacing face in the sky about the size of a big cloud?
I do. I just noticed that. What do you think that is? Water vapor turned to ice and then the sun reflects off of it, creating a sky demon?
No, I think it's a straight-up sky demon or something.
It looks like a giant bobbing for apples from the apple's point of view.
Maybe the rest of him is in another dimension and he's just sticking his face in.
I've never seen that, though, and I'm an amateur meteorologist.
I feel like he's looking right at us. And now he's gone.
Where's my cell phone camera? I wonder if I got a picture of it.
Wouldn't you have known?
Oh, you'd be surprised. Let's see. Nope, just pictures of Mr. Saunders' disappearance scene.
Oh, that was a good idea. See any details we missed?
Nope. Just the table with the plate of fish and you and Mr. and Mrs. Saunders talking.
But what do you mean, Mr. and Mrs. Saunders?
There's you and Mr. Saunders eating those darn fish again, and Mrs. Saunders bringing me my pie.
Give me that. That man was not there when this picture was taken.
I admit, I didn't see him either. He's pretty introverted, I guess.
No, he wasn't there at all. I have no idea how it turned up on the camera, unless somehow he's out of phase with our time.
Maybe he was really there and someone was messing with our perception.
Well, that could be.
Hey, remember that big head in the sky?
Of course, it was like a minute ago. Why do you ask?
Just checking to see if it was erased from our memories.
Erased what?
What? I was just saying, I guess I'll erase these pictures of Mr. Saunders.
No, don't do that. We got to double check and make sure that is Mr. Saunders. Could be anybody.
Check.
And then let's find one of these yellow millet dream tourists. I want to know if there's something afoot in their world that we should know about.
How do you find them if they're just blending in and living normal lives?
They usually take a lot of chances because they know there are no consequences. So they go big. But the thing is, they're from another planet and have no idea what they're doing.
So?
So we find ambitious but incompetent people.
Well, that narrows it down.
Politicians, Lou. They always pick these tough beginnings, rag-to-riches lives, too. Easy to spot. There's a fundraising party for the governor tonight. We'll go to that, and I'm sure we'll find one.
Nah, I don't think I can go.
What do you mean? Of course you can go. It's our job.
I don't have any nice clothes, and these things require you to dress up.
Well, surely you have some dress clothes.
I don't, and don't call me you.
I'm sure I have a sports coat you can borrow.
It won't fit. I'm bigger than you. I'll look like Curly Howard.
Just wear what you have.
I don't have a sports coat, but I have other sports stuff like sports pants and sports shirts. I'll wear that.
Just wear whatever and be at the office at 7, and we'll go to the party and track down a dream tourist.
Sports bra.
Lou.
Okay.
Where's Lou? We're going to be late.
Here I am.
What are you wearing? Is that a wetsuit?
No, it's a speed skating suit.
You look like,
fast, right? I know it's not a business suit, but it is a sports suit.
You're gonna stand out like a sore thumb. In fact, you look exactly like a sore thumb, or rather a necrotic one.
Let me worry about pulling off a look. Incidentally, you look like a used toothbrush salesman.
This is the same suit I always wear.
Patently obvious.
We're wasting time. Let's get to the governor's fundraising party and see if we can't track down a dream tourist.
I have such mixed feelings about tourists. On the one hand, they feed the economy. And on the other hand, that economy wouldn't be needed if it wasn't for the tourists. So it's like saying, thank God for silverfish. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have a pest control industry.
When we get to the party, look around and try to watch anyone who seems a little too well-adjusted, a little too confident. Then, when we have a suspect, we somehow offer them fish.
So like, hey, you look cocky. Want a herring?
Basically.
This little fishing expedition of yours sure is a hunting expedition. What if we find nothing?
Well, where else do we start? We have what we think is a missing dream tourist from some time-manipulating alien race. We have giant faces in the sky and photographs of ghosts.
I think we should start at the library.
Well, that may not be a bad idea.
Or the conservatory. Or the parlor.
Just walk around the room and talk to folks.
What's our cover?
That's hard because of your unusual choice of evening wear.
How about, I'm a campaign worker, and the new slogan is, I'm skating fast for Governor Reynolds.
That doesn't make a ton of sense.
I'm speed skating for Governor Rogan Reynolds, because he has one arm whipping out like that to the side while the other is tucked under.
No.
I'm cosplaying Frozone from The Incredibles.
No. How about just you're a champion speed skater here to endorse the governor?
I'm sort of fat for a speed skater. I know. I'm an ice wrestler.
All right.
From Mackinac Island, Michigan.
Fine.
And I'm here to campaign for the governor because he's gonna ice wrestle the tough problems in our state.
Let's just hope for the best.
Fancy party. I'm glad my sports suit is black.
Let's just mull around, get a drink, and keep our eyes peeled.
I hate that expression, especially after having an eye peel.
Hey, Heidi.
Oh, great, it's Roger.
Look, I'm gonna get a can of peas from the buffet. Meet you later.
Hey, Roger.
Well, what brings you to this party? You writing something for that magazine of yours? I didn't think you were political.
I just like to know what's going on in politics, especially what goes on at these fundraisers.
Well, nothing supernatural, so nothing for your magazine. Just the usual schmoozing and vote buying. But don't quote me on that. In fact, if you quote me, I'll kill you. I shouldn't have said that. In fact, I might kill you regardless, just for insurance.
I'm not here as a magazine editor, Roger. I'm here as a citizen.
Well, then cover your wallet. It's like being a tourist in some economically oppressed nation where you have no business and all the children cleverly swarm you and try desperately to rob you of all your belongings while distracting you by appealing to your best intentions.
Thanks for the heads up.
The governor is the worst. It's like an alien. Shameless. As if all of this was just some big game for him, like he's impervious.
Oh, really?
Yes, like he's one of those yellow millet dream tourists from that time travel planet.
What do you know about that?
I read your magazine. Wasn't born yesterday. I know that there are some aliens among us who experience 70 years in 15 minutes and so take this mini dream vacation and play out lifetimes on planets like ours at a very reasonable price, I think, for what one gets.
Well, I make a lot of stuff up. Or steal it. I think that's from Star Trek. Except I added the tourism element.
You don't fool me. I know the first sign a conspiracy is true is if it's clearly not true.
You got me there.
I wouldn't doubt for a minute if that governor wasn't a dream tourist.
Hey, Hardy.
What are you supposed to be? Speed skating for the governor? Hey, that's pretty good. He's ice skating good.
Exactly. Hardy, I've been asking around, and no one has seen the governor in a while.
Oh, he'll get here. These guys are always late to stuff like this.
No, that's the thing. He's been here. Everyone saw him arrive, and then no one saw him leave. The highway patrol officers are freaking out.
You don't think?
I do not think. You told me not to.
Oh, come on, man. That was ages ago. Let it go.
No, you said, don't think. I'll do the thinking.
Let's nose around and see if we can find him. Maybe ducked away.
Man, I feel like I'm just cutting through the air with this suit. Like a hot knife through the flesh of a butter baby.
At least pull the hood off. That's the most disturbing part.
You know what I look like? Those doctors, they shrink down real small and inject in tumors.
How do you know about that?
Your magazine.
Why do people believe the stuff I publish? Granted, it's true, but it's so ridiculously improbable.
I think some people just assume if something is too good to be true, it isn't. And if it's too false to be true, it is.
Where did the governor go, do you think?
I think he disappeared like Mr. Saunders.
I have an idea. Give me your phone.
What, you need to make a call?
No, the camera.
Here. What are you taking pictures of, the crowd?
Yes, and the hallways.
Why?
To see if we can find the governor.
Oh, like Mr. Saunders.
Exactly. Nothing. Nothing in this one.
Wait, that one.
Yeah, that's him standing there by the chocolate fountain on the buffet.
Buffet? What was I calling it?
He seems calm, just like Mr. Saunders did, going about his business.
Maybe there's a time lag. If you keep taking pictures, maybe we'll capture the moment he's taken.
Brilliant.
What are you fellas doing? Taking pictures not for the magazine?
Yeah, just to prove to skeptical friends I was actually here, hobnobbing it with politicians.
And player morticians.
Yes, like your honorable self, Roger.
They all want to make sorts of laws about what you have to do with the dead. What a freedom-crushing mindset they have.
Hardy, look!
What is it?
Nothing, Roger. I think that... Look, Hardy, this picture's the best one to post on social media. Use that as your cover photo. I like the way the chocolate fountain and the potted plant frame the governor's abduction. I mean, the cover band's affection. I mean, the governor's election.
The plant frames the governor's election?
I have low blood sugar, Hardy, and I feel like I'm going to stab somebody with this shrimp fork.
You better get him out of here.
Agreed. I will. Come on, man.
Did you see that? Did you see who grabbed the governor in that picture?
I did. It was the same guy as the face from the sky.
He snatched the governor right through some kind of invisible door. What the heck? Why would he grab him mid-dream?
Well, on the other end, they're asleep.
What?
To the dreamer, they walk into the booth, they sit down, they nod off, and during the 15-minute nap, they live a lifetime on one of 9 planets.
It only takes 15 minutes for them.
Yep, and they get 70, 100 years in our world.
Why would someone wake them up in the middle?
I don't have any clue.
The governor looked pretty distressed.
But not very surprised.
But definitely scared. But if they are back on their world, then they aren't really missing, are they?
Well, who knows if they're on their world or not. They might be in distress. Besides, our job is to check out strange or disruptive occurrences of hidden origin.
And run a fake UFO magazine as a cover.
Hey, it started out as a legitimate fan magazine for the band UFO, but things just got a little out of hand. It doesn't matter. Print is dead.
What's our next step, Space Andy Griffith? To go fishing? Fish.
I have a brilliant idea.
Who are you calling, Goober?
Mrs. Saunders? Hi, Mrs. Saunders. This is Hardy White. Thanks, I'm great. No, I'm sorry, I haven't. Okay, I'll tell him.
Tell him what?
She's still so delighted that you like the pie.
Thanks again, Mrs. Saunders!
Mrs. Saunders, did Mr. Saunders prefer a particular kind of fish? Uh-huh. I see. Very interesting. I thought as much. Well, thank you, Mrs. Saunders. That's a good tip. Thank you. No, I don't think the fish killed him, Mrs. Saunders, but I'll find out. All right. All right, bye-bye.
What did she say?
He only ate a certain kind of pickled herring.
I had an uncle like that, except instead of pickled herring, it was everything.
Pickled herring, though, that makes some kind of sense, I think. It's high in pteramine.
Who?
Pteramine. It's like some neurotransmitter protein thing. Makes your blood pressure high. I bet they eat Stilton, too.
Who?
The dream tourists. They need pteramine for some reason, maybe to make things work right. I bet they eat Stilton. So they can be anyone, but they have to eat pickled herring and blue cheese to stay in this world. Yes, I believe so.
I bet you're thinking we should scout out the pickled herring and blue cheese fanciers clubs around town.
Very funny. But I do know a local deli that sells both those things, and we can scope out their customers. Tomorrow morning, meet me at Welsh's Deli on Abet Avenue. Something tells me Mickey knows quite a few dream tourists.
Can I crash at your place tonight?
Why? No, but why?
I got evicted.
Lou, that's terrible. Why didn't you tell me?
I just did.
What are you gonna do?
I thought I'd ask if I could crash at your place, but now I'm out of ideas.
Well, of course you can stay with me. I'm sorry, I didn't know.
I won't be any trouble. Except to do this thing that when people are trying to fall asleep, I keep talking or doing something annoying, and they go, Lou, just go to sleep already, and I say, sorry, and then I end up just saying something again.
I think I'll manage. Hey, you got everything you need? I'm just going to be in the other room. You can watch TV if you want, but please keep the volume down.
Hey, I really appreciate this, man.
No problem.
Could I trouble you for another blanket, though?
Okay.
It's just that I get cold during the night sometimes because of how much I sweat.
Here you go.
Thanks again. Hey, do you mind if I go through your DVDs? I saw you have a lot of great-looking sitcom compilations.
Okay, but please mind the volume.
Not a problem. I fancy myself as being pretty considerate. You just get a great night's sleep, and I will not constantly wake you up with my inane shenanigans.
Gotcha.
Night.
Night.
Hardy?
What is it, Lou?
Sleep is so inviting. The surrender to the dark, dark paralysis of half shadows and vague dreams from the harsh, sharp reality of life. But can I not sleep when I am dead? Should I not rage against the coming of the night, like literally?
No. No, you should go to sleep.
Hardy?
What?
Are you armed?
No, man, we're fine.
What if aliens come for us?
They won't. Go to sleep.
They might. They might hunt us down while we sleep, which I guess isn't so bad. I bet if they do that, I incorporate it into my dream somehow.
Look, I'm going into my bedroom now. You can keep talking, but I'm going to sleep.
Roger.
Over and out.
No, man, I mean, it's your friend Roger. He's here.
Hardy, I have to talk to you. I couldn't speak at the party, but I'm in grave danger.
Roger, what are you doing here?
We're being robbed.
Who is?
The agency.
What agency?
The travel agency. Someone barged in and started pulling people out of their stalls.
Roger, are you a dream tourist?
I've known you for years.
Well, seconds, actually. Yes, I manage an insta-travel agency. 15 minutes for a lifetime.
What's going on?
Well, for the past 35 years or so, which is like 7 minutes for me, we're being robbed by a thug. I came in to try to rescue customers.
I'm confused.
Normal day. Everything is going fine. Dozens, if not hundreds of thousands of customers in the stall and different lives. And he rushes in and starts pulling them out, effectively ending their dream lives.
But they aren't being killed on that end.
Oh, God, no. No, but it's going to kill my business. And I still don't know what he wants. There's nothing to steal.
Roger, I have a question.
What do you want?
Just to ask a question.
What are you doing here?
I'm question asking. Get out! Hardy, you said I could stay the night. What's Roger talking about? Do you agree with this?
Lou, he's not talking to us. He's being snatched. Hold on to him.
Take his picture.
Let go, you'll ruin me. Prepare for the invasion.
He's gone.
It was the Skyface guy.
What did he mean by prepare for the invasion?
I have no idea, but at least we know what's going on.
I have a crazy question.
What is it, Lou? If it's about time travel...
No, aren't you hungry?
A little.
Do you mind if I go through your kitchen and make a found omelet?
Go right ahead. Put on some coffee, too. It's gonna be a long night.
Why?
Well, we just went through all that.
I know. I'm gonna sleep like the dead. Why have coffee? Let me scarf down this omelet and pass out. Should we still go to the deli tomorrow? It seems that we know what's going on now.
Yeah, but something's not right. Roger wasn't telling the whole story.
I can make a soup out of HP sauce, flour, and water. You have any of that?
Everything but water.
Dang it. I'll substitute vodka. You seem a little flustered, Hardy. Case got you down?
I'm worried that for once there really is something at stake here. What if our planet is about to be invaded or something? We're the equivalent of security guards at a casual wear store. I think maybe we're out of our league.
You know who was out of his league? My grandfather. Played for the Tigers.
Wow, baseball player. What position? What year?
He played the flute on his back. 1930s. Harley Brothers Circus.
What?
He played flute for the Lions in the circus. It would hypnotize them. He was good, but he had a limited repertoire. And one day, the Lions, they figured this out, see, that he was playing the same tunes over and over again, and they grew resentful.
Well, what happened?
He knew he was out of his league, see, but he had a trick up his sleeve. He didn't want to die. His will not to die was so strong, he shoved that flute into the eye of one of the lions while stepping on the back of the second and leaping out of the cage, covered in lion blood and his own urine.
What the heck, man?
My point is, sometimes we do what needs to be done, even though it's sloppy and ugly and messy. And we survive, especially if we're super cowardly like Gramps.
I think I see.
He's still alive, too. Too afraid to die. He's like 118 or something. He lives on fear like it's immortality pudding on Harry Potter.
There's no Harry Potter thing like that.
Well, whatever they call it. Omelet's done.
Well, what'd you put in it?
I have no idea. Something wrapped in cellophane. Something green, something orange.
Well, I'm hungry, so I'll eat it.
Careful, I found a green stamp in mine.
Is it morning already?
I guess.
I'll make the coffee.
I'll get the herring.
Lou?
I'm kidding. I'm no alien. I eat normal food for breakfast. I'll heat the jalapeno poppers and mini pizzas.
I'm making biscuits.
Oh, I'll have that then. Sausage gravy?
No, Lou, that stuff is bad for you.
It's worse for the pig. I like being roomies.
Don't get used to it.
Why not? You live alone.
By choice.
Yeah, but not your choice. You should take me in as a roomie, Roomie.
It's not a room. It's a suite of rooms.
All right, I'll be your sweetie.
No, Lou, my flatmate.
Your sweet mate. That's a thing.
Okay, let's get out of here and go to the deli. Mr. Nixard probably has a whole store full of dream tourists. Also, try the whitefish.
We should ask a scientist about this tyramine. Maybe it's more important than we think. What if it's super important in the world where tourists are from?
Like, what if eating pickled herring is like eating diamonds?
Or heroin?
So whoever controls the blue cheese...
Controls the... what?
We don't know. We don't know that yet. Well, let's go.
Is it okay if we make a quick stop first?
Where?
The library. I need to return a book and pay a fine.
What's the book?
The Littlest Bug.
That sounds like a children's book.
It is. I've had it for a while.
How long?
40-some years.
I think at this point the library doesn't care anymore.
Well, I care. If everyone thought that way, then I wouldn't care, I suppose, statistically speaking.
How much is the fine?
I don't know, but I think they let you slide after a while. They think the book is lost.
Then why return it?
So if someone doesn't know they lost something, you don't have to return it?
No, all right.
There you go.
What if they can't take it?
They have to. Library's honor.
That's not a thing.
They have to take whatever books you give them.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang it.
What's the problem?
There's no book called The Littlest Bug.
Well, maybe there is, but not the one I remembered.
So I got into this argument with this guy, and I bet him that it existed, but I couldn't prove it. So what I did is I wrote it, and I illustrated it, and I had it printed, and now I'm trying to get it to the library for them to accept a copy, and I made it look like it was checked out in the 60s.
That is a long way to go to win a bet.
And get this, the guy I bet is dead.
Then why go through with it?
Momentum. See if I could, I don't know.
We could skip that errand, I guess.
But I do need to go to the dry cleaners to pick up my superhero costume.
How's that coming?
Just like you said. The police don't appreciate it, the public doesn't appreciate it, and the criminals don't care. It was a dumb idea.
So, why do you need the costume?
The speed skating suit got me thinking. I need a look.
So, a superhero unitard...
is a look. And it says to people, hey, there are no superheroes. Only adults dressed like the captain of the guards from a ballet. But our powers are the powers of imagination. As in, you can only imagine you're powerful.
Most people just get, like a nut burger vibe.
I can't communicate with most people. I'm done trying.
Oh, don't give up. There's a way.
I feel mostly ostracized by both types of people.
What do you mean, both types?
Real people and imaginary people.
Ah, I see.
Because I'm a made-up character, I have a foot in both worlds.
Oh.
You'd think I'd be a great uniter of the real and imagined. But I think I just have the scorn of both sides because I'm a reminder that the other exists.
Ooh, that's profound.
Go to hell!
No, I mean it.
Oh, sorry. I have a faulty sarcasm detector.
No problem.
Go f*** yourself!
Lou, I meant it.
Oh, sorry. It can really get me into trouble. I could start losing it and start swinging.
Oh, that would be great.
No, it wouldn't.
Lou, I was being sarcastic.
Damn it!
Let's go straight to the deli.
I don't think it'll do any good. I think this pickled herring theory of yours is a red herring.
You do?
Yep.
And why is that?
It's a feeling. Like restless leg syndrome or bloating.
Well, I think it's worth checking out, and I have a lot of experience in these things.
And I don't. And that's a put down.
I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying that I've been investigating these matters of the collision of the real and imagined world for years.
I challenge you to the only way to settle this. Battle rap.
No, that's silly. No.
Are you afraid?
No, it's cheesy. It's not my genre. I think that's stupid.
Don't think of it as rap. Think of it as poetry over a James Brown loop.
Lou, no.
I'm gonna go first.
Lou, don't do this.
Onomatopoeia, wouldn't want to be ya. I don't want to see ya standing on a pier waiting for a boat at a boat show. Where did my root beer go? It was here just a minute ago. I came here to sip root beer and kick your ass, but I can't seem to find my root beer glass. Your mind is past its prime. You'll find it's time to mine some other line of work, like retail maybe, or holding a small baby, but not doing anything with the baby because you're not qualified. You need school, like a Sally Struthers VHS gun repair course, or doggy obedience lessons, or worst case scenario, community college. The knowledge of hygiene, gology, my dreams. I have a fruity smelling, well groomed hearty. We have a party and serve all your favorite prayers. See you there.
Oh, your life is much worse. Your parents divorced because your rhymes were so forced. The flow you have, it shows you know just who to go to steal from, though. I guess that's good.
shows you were shown it was better and you understood. But I'm here to school you now. How now, you mush-mouthed brown cow? You don't spit rhymes, you spit chunks of lunch. Your voice sounds like he ground glass crunching much. I know your parents, and they're nice folk. I'm sure your mom took one look at you at birth, and her heart just broke. Your dad thought it was a joke, and bought cigars that said someone replaced my baby with a gibbon. I ain't fibbing. Strike me dead if I lie.
You're getting all personal. Adversity's bringing out the best of me. See, completely original content driven. Superior, subliminal, sexy, living larger than Marge's bouffant. Freedom from want. Except that you want to be like me. You want to be like me. You want to walk like me. Talk like me. Do you know it's true? You want to be like me. Learn to be like someone like you. Learn to be you, man.
Well, that got us nowhere.
I thought it was entertaining.
Well, we're here at the deli.
It looks closed.
It can't be closed.
The door's unlocked.
Hello? Hello?
No one's here.
Hello?
I'm about to put mayo on pastrami.
What are you saying?
I figured if they're just hiding, that'd be too much for them to keep quiet about.
Let's go next door and see if they know what's going on.
What's next door?
It's a candle shop. Oh man, that smell is overwhelming.
I think it's cran cinnamon straw juniper vanilla pineberry.
Oh, hello? Hello? Anybody here?
Man, this store's empty too. Where is everybody?
Disappeared!
Oh, hi, I didn't know it was you.
Have we met?
No, I just say that when somebody comes through the shop door. It's an inside joke, sorry.
People are disappearing. It's the end of times.
I don't think so.
I don't either. I was just testing you. It's clearly something more rational. Like aliens.
Who's to say what's an alien, though, right? Am I right?
I agree. It might be interdimensional beings doing it. And maybe they're just toying with you, taunting you by destroying your world and then just giggly-diggling off.
Two empty shops do not constitute people disappearing en masse.
You know that's not true, Hearty White.
So you do know me?
No, it was me not knowing him that caused the confusion before.
Of course I know you. You are why I'm here. And you are why I'm closing this tourist trap of a planet.
I knew it.
I knew it, too. I just didn't want to say anything that make you feel bad.
Who is this person?
Oh, this is my friend Lou.
I'm starting to feel like maybe you're the bad guy.
It's relative.
Okay, it's relative. Same family as the bad guy, though. Probably his brother.
You two are friends?
Yes, we're friends. Quit being such a jerk.
Hey, he called me a bad guy.
I did do that. Hey, man, I'm sorry I called your brother a bad guy.
Okay.
Is that better?
Look, I just wanted to drop in and say I'm destroying the dream tourism trade on this planet, effectively ending millions of lives.
Millions of people are actually interdimensional tourists?
I'd say roughly half.
Dang.
Listen, you two keep sidetracking me before I get to... And you will not be able to stop me, part.
Sorry, finish.
And you will not be able to stop me.
All right, well, we'll see what happens.
What happens is I win.
Well, things usually work out best in the long run. We'll see.
No, I already won. It's done. They're gone. I've just come to gloat.
You gloated, so now you can go.
When I'm ready, I'll go.
Hardy, you want to grab a bite or go somewhere and talk about this?
Sure. Do you think Judy at Judy's Lunchbox is still there?
I hope. I want the hummus veggie.
She's gone!
Well, somebody else might be running the kitchen.
No, they're all gone!
If you don't mind, we'd like to see for ourselves.
And once we're on that side of town, we can do Thai or West African.
Oh, man, I could go for curried goat.
All right, maybe I will go, but only because I want to.
Okay, cheers.
You'll never stop me!
Again, who knows?
You want I should pull up the menu for the Thai Clipper?
Sure.
Fools!
If we're in a rush, I could call ahead.
No, we have plenty of time since he's already done the worst of it.
You just wait. You know what? I do not need this. There are plenty of people and entities in general who fear me. Why am I wasting my time on you two who are too stupid to be afraid? Ciao.
More later, Hoss.
That's it. I'm going with you to the restaurant.
Suit yourself.
You think it's so cool to exclude me. Well then, try having to face me while you're doing it.
Look, no problem. More the merrier.
You know, I'm not really evil. I just feel this practice of pretending to live someone else's life is dangerously close to Marie Antoinette playing peasant in her custom-built peasant village.
If I were rich, I'd build a realistic Camden, New Jersey row house and go to my Campbell's Soup Factory job that I hate every day and then come home and go to bed with the TV on. If I were rich, I'd buy an island and build a treehouse village and invite all my hippie friends to come live there with me. And then the island paradise utopia would slowly devolve into a nightmare of squabbling resentment and paranoia.
This is another reason why I don't want my people coming here. There's something wrong with you.
Hey, we're not actually from here.
Well, we are. We're just made-up characters.
What? We aren't real, really. I mean, well, we are and we aren't.
Yes and no.
We were created mentally, and we have substance because of the law of trans-autonomous creation.
I don't know what any of that means.
Suffice it to say, we are not your typical Earth people.
Earth people. That's what I'm going to call my commune.
Look, we know you're against tourism or something.
It's more complicated than that.
Whatever, but listen. Even though these people might not be actual Earthlings, we need them. We love them. They are part of our world, our families, our tribes. Please, it doesn't matter where people originated.
Do you know the biblical story of Ruth? She was a widow, but her in-laws made her part of the tribe.
We have a similar story where I'm from, but instead of Ruth, she's called Uncle Bob, and it's from My Three Sons.
I'm familiar with that story since I'm a religion scholar.
Religion scholar? Where did you study?
Around. Man, I hate to be grilled like that. Okay, I'm not. Happy now? Caught me in a lie? I guess I have no redeeming values. I guess I'm a big loser because I wanted to appear maybe just a little more erudite than I am.
Don't listen to him. He went to FSU.
Hey, I had him going.
Look, I'm willing to let these tourists come back on one condition.
What's that?
That you stand up for the rights of non-substantial beings. Beings without corporeal substance.
We can do that. In fact, I have a printer.
I have clip art of clouds and Tesla coils. We can make posters supporting the rights of those who are made of pure thought.
Will you do this?
We will.
I like having a mission.
And that, my friends, is how we became Squad 42. Even though we were already Squad 42 at the beginning of the story, so it's a little bit confusing. How could it be its own origination story? I guess it's a paradox. Oh my goodness, I should just tape the ends of the shows together like it's a Moebius show and it starts all over again.
Man, this is some good pie, Mrs. Saunders.
No, I didn't mean literally, Lou.
Oh, sorry, man. I thought you said start over again.
No. I was just joking around. We don't want to do that. We already did it.
Let's do it backwards.
Well, let's just move on to something else.
The whole universe is going to run backwards at some point, and so we're going to have to hear this thing again.
I know.
Every single show we're going to have to hear backwards.
Yeah, I guess so.
So why not do it backwards this time, give the other people a treat on the way back, and have them run forwards?
Well, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, they're going to be listening to all this music like Led Zeppelin instead of stuff running backwards, you know. Like that, they're going to hear it forwards.
I never even thought about that, but I don't know if that's how it works. I don't know much about physics.
I don't know much about physics either, which is a tragedy because I'm teaching it at the graduate level.
Oh, you shouldn't do that, man.
Yeah, well, it's one of them volunteer universities, and it's an honor system, and I said, oh, yeah, I got several PhDs. I don't know. You know me, compulsive liar.
I might go down there, too. I think I don't want to lie, but I just love teaching. I have nothing to impart, but I really enjoy imparting it. I wonder what that's all about. It's like I want to serve people food. I should be a waiter because I want to serve people food, but I can't make it. I could go in the back and I could get it out of the microwave, put it on a tray, and tell them that there's a chef or something. I should create a chef.
That sounds like a sitcom idea. There is no chef. It's just product of your imagination.
That's right. It's just Manuel and Polly back there doing stuff.
Oh, now you're dipping into Fawlty Towers and all for ideas.
Well, you know, people do that with the Bible. You look at that Moby Dick, and he lifts absolutely big portions of the book of Jonah. And I'm sure the guy who wrote the book of Jonah...
Was it Jonah?
I don't know. If it wasn't, that's tragic.
He should have the rights to his own story.
I agree.
Jonah should be able to write his own story. I think they make him look bad, so I bet it wasn't him.
Yeah, I think it was...
Is that Kitty somebody?
No, I don't think it was her. She wasn't around then. But we should be able to write our own stories, but often we're written into other people's stories, and we're characters in other people's stories.
You and I are characters in stories.
In some people's stories.
Man.
And everybody we know. You know, nobody really knows what's inside our heads, so we are, to them, merely some sort of character.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess so.
And so we're all doing things in their head all day long we have no control of, like in their dreams.
I'm in a lot of people's dreams. They're always telling me that. Say, hey, I had a dream about you, and it was disconcerting, so I didn't want to say anything.
I know. And it's funny to say, I don't have responsibility for the things that I do in the dreams of others.
Maybe that could be some kind of contract you could get, where if people dream about you, they got to give you something, send you something.
Yeah, I get a lot of celebrities would be getting that. Just stuff in the mail. Say, what's this?
It's a dollar. It's your residuals for being in my dream. And if it's a recurring dream, I keep sending you the money. Oh, my goodness.
Sitcoms are like recurring dreams like that. When I was young, I used to incorporate things that I'd seen on TV shows and everything into my dreams. So I'd get them all mixed up. Now, people overuse the word conflate now. That's a shame because I need it. And now that I go to get it, it's all worn and has people's grime and spit smells like spit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, put something on a word. Words should have like a spit screen. Well, on these microphones here, we have things that we put on them so that when other people are putting their saliva into it, we can just change it or clean it or whatever. Everything should have a removable lining.
People especially. You can tell maybe that creatures were not designed. Otherwise, you'd be able to zip them open, pull out the gut bag, clean that out, put it back and all. But it doesn't. Everything seems like you can't repair it.
I know. It's like light bulbs.
You can't repair light bulbs.
No, you can't. Well, if you could go in there and put a new element in, the light bulb people would be out of business.
Then why are they making them LEDs?
I know. Why are they putting themselves out of business?
Maybe they know something. Maybe they're going to leave the Earth.
Oh, I hope not.
Maybe they're going to make all these light bulbs that last forever and then say, okay, goodbye.
Oh, I don't know.
The only real good people are people that make things to break.
Oh.
Because they're invested in the Earth. You know, they're going to be here on the world if they're counting on future business.
That could very well be. I like the way you think sometimes, Lou.
Thank you. I came up with it on my own.
Well, you really didn't. The human brain, you know, evolved, and other people are using it the same way, and that's why they're getting similar ideas.
Yeah, but I put something into it that other people don't.
What?
Drugs and sugar.
No, I think other people do that, too.
Well, I'm unique somehow.
Well, yeah, ish.
Yeah, that's enough, I think. I'm unique, like a leaf.
Right.
Like maybe, but maybe I'm like a magnolia leaf, but I'm growing on a gardenia.
All right. That's just gargantuanism.
Well, I am. My spirit is gargantuan. Sometimes, Hardy, I feel like, oh, my goodness, my mind encompasses the whole universe, and like it, it's mostly empty.
Yeah, I feel that way, too. I think there's a lot of space in my head.
You should rent it out.
No, you don't take renters. That's the worst, man. You never know who you're going to get.
Sometimes it's wonderful, though. You could get some really nice lady who's going to sew you new brain curtains.
It really doesn't work that way. When you lend out space in your brain, it lives there forever. You bring in ideas or characters or something like that. Say, I'm going to bring in the idea of some authoritarian general figure who lives in the clouds and watches over me.
Oh, I know him. What's his name? General Chang or something.
No, it's not a Chinese thing.
I think it is.
No.
What's the one with the chicken?
General So.
No.
No, just forget it. It's not that. I was just using it as an example. But now I've forgotten what I was talking about.
That's a good thing, I think. I think sometimes when you forget what you're talking about, it's because it's expired. You know, like old milk.
Ideas expire?
Oh, yes. Like the therapeutic prefrontal lobotomy. Don't do that.
All right. Well, I guess it...
Don't do it. I mean, don't do it as much. I guess you can... Look, I'm not a doctor, but it seems like there's some bad ideas in the past.
Oh, that's for sure. Oh, my goodness.
And now?
How do we weed them out, I wonder? How can you tell if a bad idea is bad?
There used to be an ad that said, how can you tell if a brown towel... I don't remember the rest of it.
Is clean.
It's clean, that's it. I keep wanting to say brown. How can you tell if a brown towel's brown? Well, you need color vision.
Yeah, that's true.
And vision at all. So you need vision, and then color vision.
Well, that's not what they're talking about, though. So it's a brown towel clean. They say if it's dark, you can't just see the dirt on it.
But sometimes the things that smell don't have color.
I know.
You're not going to see someone's B.O. on a green towel.
I get that.
But I guess the moral of the story is sniff it.
Right, you're supposed to smell it.
But what if it's just been masked with some kind of, you know, cologne or something? That's what I do.
Well, that's true. It still wouldn't be clean.
You'd think it was clean.
How do you think a brown towel is clean?
Smell it.
That's right.
That's different, though,
than reality. You'd have to test it.
Sometimes they put those black lights on bedclothes at hotels to see if anybody's put any fluid on it.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah. So I wonder if a brown towel just run by something, like a black light or infrared, or there's creatures that, you know, see in different spectrums. They can see X-rays and infrared and everything. What creature am I thinking of?
I don't know. A robot?
Robots, yes. They can see in every wavelength, all the electromagnetic spectrum. And they could look at a towel, and they just wouldn't just see a towel. They'd see all the particulate matter in that towel. They'd see all the dirt. They'd see all the organic matter, all the stuff that all the smelly stuff, all the oils and everything, body oils that smell like butt and everything on that towel. They'd see it.
Right. They'd have like smell vision.
Yes, it's like synesthesia, but smellesthesia or something.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
That smells like a brown towel. That smells like an orange towel. I liked it. I named my smell colors.
All right. Well, that's something you got to do. Oh, we all operate our brains differently. It's like you have a car, and everybody's going to, you know, operate it in a different way.
I grind the gears. I know I grind the gears.
And so, you know,
I never change the oil.
So sometimes there's irresponsible ways to operate them.
I speed.
Okay.
I go too slowly.
All right.
I never do anything correctly.
Well, I don't know why that is.
I try. I'm all side-goggling. When I aim at something, I always miss. So I try not to aim. And that way, maybe just coincidentally, I will be on the right path. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes if I try to organize myself, forget it. Everything goes wrong.
I know how you feel. I know that can be... You know, and that's one of the reasons I put together our detective agency. Oh, my friends out there, you say, you don't have a detective agency. I know that you are. You're a simpleton on the radio. I bet you started on local radio talking to people about religious matters. And then I bet somehow what I'm listening to right now is some sort of mutation or evolution.
Which is it?
Well, it mutated, and then if it endures, that's evolution.
Oh, I see.
So it changed, and every time they don't kick me off the radio and I keep going, that's evolution. And so what you see now is a lonely spirit, myself, who one day, years ago, walked into a radio station, and I feel like I had nothing to say to others. All I could say is take good care of your body, because you won't be sick, because I had friends suffering from cancer and all. So I thought, I'll go on, I'll say, hey, eat well, take care of yourself, because I love you, and it's paining me that I'm losing somebody. And then I also want to say, I want to cheer you up. I know there's a lot of lonely people, not necessarily dying physically, but they're lonely and their hearts are broken. So I wanted to say to them, hey, come on now, be your friend. And as I was doing that, I realized there was no particular philosophy that was helping me. I couldn't fall back on anything. All I could be was myself saying, oh, bless you, take care of yourself, and I'll be your friend. And none of this was advice. It was just somebody saying to you, I care about you. When you're hurt, I hurt. And that's all I had to say. And I thought, oh, my goodness. Is that it? Do I say that over and over again? And then I thought I better find different ways to say this, that we are all the same and yet we're all different, that there is an eternal tension between the individual and the collective. And that's it. That's what causes all this pain, is who we are together and who we are by ourselves, and the conflict that can happen between reality, between the outside and the inside. And so I started talking about this. And then I thought, you know what? I've been on the radio and I got to learn something about this. And it's like a punk band. You say, I accidentally learned how to play the bass as I was playing punk bass, just because I wanted to get a little better, and just time. You know, you spend enough time on something, you say, uh-oh. And so I wanted to start making the radio that I remember hearing as a young person. And here's the thing, though. It was old then. My grandfather had given me old cassettes. Children don't even know what those are. But I had a little cassette player, and he'd give me old-time radio shows. And, I fell in love with it all. I'd listen to it. We didn't have the internet. We had television, but, you'd get bored of it. All the advertisements were uninteresting and everything. The radio advertisements held my attention a little bit somehow. And I could do other things, too. Like, I don't know, whatever you do when you're a kid, cut out pieces of paper. I'm sure I was needle pointing or something while I was listening to it. And it really did two things. It kept me company, and it exposed me to other ideas and everything. I thought, that's what I'll do. I'll tell stories on the radio. So I called up all my friends, like me. Yeah, like you. And I'm not really a radio person. I got a terrible voice because of my throat problem. Right. But I came, and Butchie came. Right. Butchie's not here today because Butchie's sick. Butchie's not sick. Okay, just we're playing. It's a story. Sorry. It's all right. It's just that these get confusing. Man, we ought to sometimes play the outtakes where we talk over one another, or I'll say somebody else's line. That would be great. I'd love when they do that at the end of movies. They say, let's all, after being there, they showed everybody cracking up. Yeah, that didn't fit, really. I didn't think so either. Yeah, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I've seen the fake ones. The cartoons will do the fake outtakes. And I don't know what the first movie to do outtakes. I guess Citizen Kane. That show was Orson Welles always cracking up. He's cracking each other up. Part of Orson Welles' original cast, his original Mercury Theater outfit, was Tim Conway. And they kicked him out. They said, Tim, you're cracking everybody up. I went back and I watched some of those old shows like Tim Conway on What's in Carol Burnett. And they would do that. They'd laugh at him. And when I was a child, I'd say, I know what you mean. That's so funny. And now I'm watching, I'm thinking, what are they laughing at? I went back and I watched some. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I think they're high or something. Because whether they're laughing at things that aren't, it's not that they're not funny, but they're kind of funny where you don't laugh. I have some favorite TV shows, old sitcoms and everything. And I ought to film myself watching them. Because I swear some of them, which I claim I love, I don't even smile. And then I know that I'm happy and sort of laughing on the inside, but getting that laugh out loud, ha ha ha, that's rough. I don't know. That's reserved for some very special comedy. It used to happen to me more, I think, I used to have more belly laughs as a child because more was new to me. You know, I'd never seen, I didn't know that's, you know, when I was watching Pink Panther or something like that. So, that's hilarious. Oh, my goodness. It's so funny to me at the time. Looking back and I say, the man I'm laughing at was I think, probably horrible. And I could say a million other comedians like that, too. Oh, my goodness. I hope you're not horrible, Artie. Are you going to turn out to be some crazy, hard person? Oh, there is. No, I'm not a person. So there's no... That can't ever happen. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my goodness, quite a relief. I know, because people, it's not that they let you down. It's just you think you know them, but you never did. Because what you know is a character in your head based on some visual information you got or some sound information. But that actual individual is never in your head, and you never know them, and you only think everything's just appearances. It's so strange. We see just the shadows, don't we?
That's why we used to do shadow plays and everything. Symbolic.
That's right. We would do shadow plays.
That was after. I'll tell you, I know exactly how that came about. It was the 1980s or so or something, and we were watching the Ring of Fire documentary with Lawrence and Lauren Neuenemeyer. I forget their names. And they were going to like Java and Bali and everything. They showed shadow puppets, and I'd never seen it before.
I remember that, and he came to me, he was so excited, he said, let's put a sheet up and put a fire behind the sheet. And we did that, and we lit the sheet on fire, so we didn't get around to the puppets.
Right, but I said, someday we're going to do this, because I love the symbolism of it. You know, that you're only seeing a shadow, just a reflect, not even a reflection, something without even any details. So you don't even know the depth of the thing you're seeing. Three dimensions has been reduced to two dimensions, and all the details stripped away, and all you see is the difference between light and dark.
Oh, man, that is good. You are good.
You like that?
Yes. You have quite a way with words.
Thank you. I think I do. I got way with words, but not numbers, really. And not even all words, just half of the English ones.
Oh, I know what you mean. Oh, I wish I spoke other languages. Sometimes I dearly, dearly do. Maybe if I was more of a scholar, you know, maybe I'd studied more, but I think I'm lazy.
You ought to do what I do, is I go to a foreign country and I immediately get in prison, and then you got to learn it.
Oh, yeah, that's awful, though. That's the Midnight Express way of learning Turkish. Don't do that.
Yeah, but it's a cram course. It's better than one of these... what's the place called? Ersatz or whatever that teaches you the language?
That's not the name, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but you go and you get it's full immersion and punishment, which is not good. But, you know, when somebody's got their foot on your neck, you'll be like, you know, je ne parle pas français. You can't do that. You got to have words.
I hear you. I hope I have the right words for you, my friend. Sometimes you don't, you know, it's like in the Bible, Job's having a horrible time, and his friends come to him and they say all the wrong things, you know, because they're idiots. You know, they say, well, you probably did something wrong, that's how God's punishing you. And I read that and I thought, I don't want to ever be one of Job's comforters. What do I go and say to somebody? I'm sorry, I'll be here with you. I won't speak for God. I won't speak for creation. I won't speak for humanity. I won't ever say to you, you shoulda, you coulda, you oughta. That's none of my business, really. I'll just sit beside you and say, I'm here too. And I know that you're going through something. I recognize your pain. And can I be of help to you? That's what I would do, I think, rather than come up with answers. So I proudly present to you, my friend and listeners, with no answers. Just myself, weakly, to be here with you. I hope that's enough. I'm like a pet rock or something like that. I'll just sit there and you say, I recognize that there's some other humanity over there. Maybe I'm not so lonely. You are listening to me. This is still part of the show. I just have to say this, to Miracle Nutrition.
I know,
but some people don't know they're listening to that.
Go on, man. Don't get upset.
I'm not. I'm just... Miracle Nutrition.
You can't handle criticism.
That's not... You're listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Blessed Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. We are so lucky to be in the WFMU family. And it is like a family. In every sense of that word you can think. You say, oh, yeah, like the blah, blah family? Yes, just like them. Absolutely. Although it's much, much closer to Lawrence Welk, I think. I'm not always physically there, you know, but I think that that's the kind of family organization that it is. It just goes on for years, you know, like that. Somebody that's, I don't know who the equivalent of the Lennon sisters are. We can go on and all forever and ever. I feel like anyway, I won't name names. You don't even know Lawrence Welk regulars. I would have a bigger audience if they weren't dead. Because I think a lot of the 90 to 110 crowd, I can relate to you. Oh, friends, I'm going to leave you now. Bless you so much. Thank you for tuning in.
Tonight. yes, no. Oh, yes, no.
Old Simon Peter, the Gospel Ambassadors, that's who they were singing about right there on the Executive record label about 1970, an excellent, outstanding gospel number.